if we have this amazing, loving God, why is it that even though we are good people or we know good people, terrible circumstances happen to these people? This is an interesting topic because when you think about this topic, it tends to be one of the most difficult topics to deal with in the Christian theology or Christian faith. It's difficult for a number of reasons, the least of these being the fact that theologically there's so many issues with that, trying to figure out God's power and God's love and how the two go together, whether God can be both loving and all-powerful and yet allow evil and terrible things to happen, and how does that work, and why does he allow them to happen, and why doesn't he destroy evil, and all those kinds of theological issues. But probably the most important reason why this particular topic is so difficult and so controversial to deal with is because it speaks to one of the deepest human needs that we have or struggles that we have, and that is the pain that we experience when terrible things happen. So it's one thing to step into this topic and say, here's the deal, here are the facts, let me tell you what the Bible says. But when you're speaking about things like that, you're speaking to people that have seen a 3-year-old drown, or you're speaking to people that have watched their 18-year-old kidnapped and disappeared, or you're speaking to people that have watched their son killed in a car accident at 23. And when you're speaking to these kinds of things, you cannot simply go, let me jump into the facts with you real quick because it's really simple. Here's the deal. This is why it happens. So it becomes very difficult to deal with this topic. You know, I was studying for this particular topic over the last few weeks, and in particular this week, just looking over things, and we're going to go through a lot of stuff tonight dealing with why these things happen. And this afternoon, I was kind of ready to walk in here and just go, let's just jump into the facts, baby. I mean, here it is. It's not hard. Well, we'll see it. And I'm sitting in my home this afternoon at 3 p.m., and a friend comes over to borrow some winter jackets because they're traveling up north. And they come in, I'm like, oh, what are you going to do up north? And she goes, well, a dear friend of ours had a car accident 2 days ago, 23-year-old. He was going to propose to his girlfriend this week, and he died after some brain trauma because the seatbelt wrapped around his neck, and nobody showed up at the scene quickly enough. So all that happened. So off they go, dear friend of theirs, and they're heading up. And I'm sitting there in the kitchen with all of the stuff in my head that I've prepared for tonight to tell you why bad things happen to good people, and none of it seems good enough to share in that moment, does it? You're like, I don't want to touch any of that because it's just cold and hard facts about life. So you understand why this is such a difficult topic, why this is such a tough subject to deal with. So let me just begin tonight by saying this. We are going to dig into what God's Word says. And what we're going to hear from God's Word tonight is not always going to be easy to swallow. It's just not. I wish it was. I wish I could come to you with all sorts of flowery and wonderful, warm things that God's Word says. But sometimes God's Word just tells us the truth. And the truth is not always easy for us to swallow. But it still remains to be the truth. So we are going to deal with that tonight. But before we do, may I just tell you that please know and understand that I understand and know the depths of where this issue goes in terms of the heartfelt pain that some of you here have experienced because of things you've seen and things you've felt. If you want to hear this topic from the perspective of pain, I want you to go onto our podcast at some point, and I want you to go and download the podcast called Losing Hope. There's a message that I did a couple of months ago, in fact, maybe even more than that, a year and a half ago, where I lost my daughter on the beach. And some things happened there that caused me, perhaps for the first time in my life, to look at this topic differently and to start asking questions beyond the simple facts. So tonight we deal with some facts, but if you want to go deeper than that, go and listen to that message because it speaks to more than facts. It speaks to the deep heart issues that come with this topic. So let's jump in tonight, assuming that we understand that there are some difficulties here. Let's jump in tonight to the facts that the scriptures lay before us about why bad things happen to good people. And I think when you jump into this topic from an intellectual standpoint and from a standpoint of understanding, this is perhaps one of those topics that most demonstrates our misunderstanding of how God works and how circumstances work and how we work. Because by definition, when we make that statement, why do bad things happen to good people, we have made two critical statements that are actually incorrect. We have made the statement that there are bad things that happen and there are good things that happen, and we are the determining body to determine which is good and which is bad. And that is an incorrect statement to make, because we can't possibly understand that, and I'll look at that in a second. And then the second statement we make, that there are good people, is an incorrect statement, because there is no such thing as the ability for anyone in this room to determine who's going to be the good person and who's going to be the bad person. As a matter of fact, when you dig into Scripture, you suddenly realize that the very definition of a good people is a definition we have to rethink completely before we can jump into this topic. Because to say that there are bad things that happen and they happen to good people just demonstrates the limited understanding we have as human beings in terms of how God functions and what God is doing on this planet. So what is God doing, and what are good or bad things, and what are good or bad people? This all has to begin at the very beginning of Scripture as we understand what is happening on this planet. You understand that the Bible tells us in Genesis that God created you and I, human beings, to exist in perfection in relationship with Him in a place where pain did not exist. We were created in that place where this question would never come up on the table. We would never be discussing why do bad things happen to good people if we had stayed in the garden with God and not messed with the stuff He told us not to mess with. Because the second we touched disobedience, we invited into the story this little thing called sin. And sin, we underestimate deeply when we sit in this room. Because we still think of sin as something we do that just demonstrates something we do that is opposed to what God wants. But sin is much bigger than that. Sin is a disease. It is a force. It is a thing that is alive and well, and it is bent on a single path, and that is to bring destruction to everything that God has made. That is what sin is about. And we invited that disease into the story when we decided to do things our way instead of God's way. And you cannot underestimate the power of that invitation into this story. Because when we invited sin into the story, we invited death into the story. And death came with a vengeance on all of us. It took our spiritual lives and destroyed it. It separated us from the God that we love. It caused that God to have requirements through the law that we need to attain to have right relationship with Him, which we could not because we were weakened by the sinful nature. And it established an entire system of death. And when sin came into this world, the fact of the matter is that you and I had one single destiny, and that was death and destruction. Bad things were happening because of sin, and bad things were happening to bad people because we were bad people. There was no good people in the equation. Romans chapter 3 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In fact, if you want to turn to Romans 3, you're welcome to do that if you dare, or you can just listen, or if you choose to block out what I'm about to read because it's ugly, okay? Romans chapter 3 goes further than simply that neat little verse. Romans chapter 3 in verse 9 on page 782 of our Bible says this: "What shall we conclude then? Are we any better? Not at all. We have already made the charge that Jews and Gentiles alike are all under sin, as it is written." Listen to these words. "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways, and the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Who does that sound like? Good people? No, you know, you read that, and your first reaction is, yeah, the bad things should be happening to those people. Those are the people we want horrible things to happen to, not the good, nice people we all know. Listen, the Bible is clear about one thing. The good, nice people we all know are only good and nice because we exist in societies where God's word has had an impact and so has caused us all to be in a certain state of holding back on the sin we exist in. And those of us that have come to Christ only exist in goodness because of what Christ has done for us. So bad things, when they happen to humanity, are happening to bad people. Don't underestimate the fact that you and I are not capable of determining who is good. Because the Bible says, until we come to Christ, there is no goodness in anyone. And we could argue all day long about good things people do and nice people we know that don't know Christ, and that's great. But the reality is, God's word speaks truth to us. And it says that sin began a work in us that it is bent on, and it is a work of destruction. Now, with that sin entering into the world and that death, understand that that reshaped the entire story for us. Because now, circumstances that occur around us are circumstances that are impacted daily by the fact that sin is at work on this planet. The planet is dying, the universe is dying, creation is dying, everything is dying. And when death is involved, you can expect decay and bad things to be happening. So circumstances occur constantly in our lives that reflect the truth that sin is at work. That is just a reality that you and I live in on this planet. It is a reality that Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 8. Turn with me, we're right there in Romans chapter 3. Go to Romans chapter 8 for a second, and you will see the reality that Paul speaks of here. In Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 18, Paul writes this, page 785 of our Bibles. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope at all. Who hopes for what is already what he already has? But if we hope for what we have not yet, what we do not yet have, we hope for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. See what he's saying here in Romans chapter 8? Right after he's talked about in Romans chapter 8, us living by the Spirit, not by the flesh, he jumps into this passage where he says, guys, don't miss this. The creation is in bondage and it is stuck in decay. And with that decay comes a horrible process that we all experience on a daily basis. And in that horrible process that is even at work in our bodies, we all groan and wait patiently to be redeemed from this so that we can be with the Father and not experience this planet any longer. And yet in that is one of the great misunderstandings that you and I function in every day. We think that this life is worth saving because we have some good things on this planet. We fear death. We run from it. We run from it because we're afraid that it's going to cause us to lose the life we experience now. We say things like somebody dies at a young age and we say, oh, how tragic for them that they have missed out on a life they could have lived. Those are the kinds of statements that reflect in us the incredible misunderstanding we have of what is truly life and what is truly death. Because somehow we think that this planet on which we live, with its circumstances, is what will bring us ultimately joy in life. And so we forget that the fact of the matter is that we ought to be longing and groaning to be redeemed from this dump we call Earth. Now, there are some good things on this planet, but I'll tell you, the good things that exist on this planet exist because you know Christ Jesus. They exist because the Holy Spirit holds sin back. The times when He did not hold sin back, we saw such massive destruction that God Himself had to wipe out humanity. When He flooded the earth, that was a great sign of what sin did early on. In the end of times in Revelation, when God removes the saints from this planet and removes His hand, you know what we get to see? We get to see a humanity so bent on destruction that by the time it's done, it thinks it can defeat the God of the universe in the Battle of Armageddon. Every time this planet is left to itself, every time God does not hold sin back, all we see is the ultimate effects of death and destruction. And you and I get to experience those effects on a small scale in the small tragedies that we find ourselves caught up in on occasion. Bad things that happen, bad things that come. And when they happen to us, or when they happen to people we love, we immediately ask the question, why, God? Why? Why me? Why now? Why them? Why this? These things seem to be completely opposed to the character that you say you have. Here we sit, and this terrible thing has happened. Why? Why didn't you stop it? Why didn't you change it? And when we sit in that place and we ask those questions, which are real and valid questions for the human heart to ask, the problem is that we never take the step into understanding the answers to why. That on this planet, as sin is at work, we should expect that circumstances will occur that are going to be terrible. And those circumstances and that sin does not measure a man or woman's heart by whether they're good or not. Sin does not ask permission to wreak havoc in your life. Sin does not say, if you're a good person, well, then I'll leave you alone. Sin does not say, if you're a bad person, then I'll go after you. Sin is bent on destruction, good, bad, or indifferent. And we should expect that in that process of sin on this planet, while we still live in the bondage of this world and its death, we should expect that circumstances will come that will be difficult. In fact, we know they will because the Bible speaks to it to the followers of Christ to say, expect that some things will happen that will be very difficult. So when these things happen, the question is, how do we determine which things are bad and which things are good? Because we already know that there are only two kinds of people on this planet. Bad people, that's all of us, and redeemed bad people, that's those of us that follow Christ. There are no good people, there are only bad people and redeemed bad people who now happen to be good because they're redeemed. And that doesn't change the fact that you weren't good. You're just blessed by God that He saw fit to reach His hand down and redeem you and rescue you. So what about circumstances? bad, good? How do they work? I want you to turn with me to the book of Job. I think my journey starts there in Job as I begin to look into the question, God, when bad things happen to me, what is it I'm supposed to know to understand that they may not be bad things after all? They may just be part of a process on this planet to which I can respond in a manner worthy of the gospel. In Job here, in chapter 12 and 13, Job is responding to some guys that have been speaking to him because remember, Job is in a bad place. He has had some very bad stuff happen to him. And if ever there was a man that you could say, whoo, here is a set of bad circumstances, this is that man. And this is what he says in Job chapter 12. Then Job replied, verse 1, page 359, doubtless you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. But I have a mind as well as you. I am not inferior to you, who does not know all these things. I have become a laughingstock to my friends, though I called upon God, and he answered. A mere laughingstock, though righteous and blameless. Men at ease have contempt for misfortune as the fate of those whose feet are slipping. Do you see what he's saying here? He's saying, I'm the laughingstock because though I am righteous, I am a good man, bad things are happening to me. And though I call on God and he answers, people are laughing at me because they're saying, look at Job. Man, he must be a bad man because look at all the bad things happening to this guy. There is no way he is a righteous man because look at the circumstances that are coming into his life. And this is exactly how we function on this planet so often. We either say, why, God, are bad things happening to good people? Or we say, those must be bad people because God doesn't let bad things happen to good people. So as soon as circumstances change in our lives, we all start judging, don't we? That's terrible that that happened to them. They must not be in the will of God. They must not be doing what God wants. If they were doing what God wants, then surely bad things wouldn't happen to them. And the reality is that that is just skewed wisdom because bad things happen to people that are following God deeply. In fact, people that follow Christ should expect bad things to happen to them because the Bible says they will. Listen to what Job says. He says, the tents of the Miranders and undisturbed, and those who provoke God are secure, those who carry their God in their hands. But ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds of the air, and they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, or let the fish of the sea inform you. Which of these, or all these, does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. Does not the ear test words or the tongue taste food? Is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? To God belongs wisdom and power. Counsel and understanding are his. What he tears down cannot be rebuilt. The man he imprisons cannot be released. If he holds back the waters, there is drought. If he lets them loose, they devastate the land. To him belong strength and victory. Both deceived and deceiver are his. He leads counselors away, stripped and makes fools of judges. He takes off the shackles put on by kings and ties the loincloth around their waist. He leads priests away stripped. He overthrows men long established. He silences the lips of the trusted advisor and takes away the discernment of elders. He pours contempt on nobles and disarms the mighty. He reveals deep things of darkness and brings deep shadows into the light. He makes nations great and destroys them. He enlarges nations and disperses them. He deprives the leaders of the earth of their reason. He sends them wandering through a tactless waste. They grope in darkness with no light. He makes them stagger like drunkards. I mean, do you see what Job is saying here? But before we go on to start judging what's good and what's bad, what circumstances are right and wrong, let me just get something straight. God does exactly what needs to be done to exactly who it needs to be done to, at exactly the right time, for exactly the right reasons. There is nothing on this planet that exists that happens, that occurs, that is outside of God's scope or outside of God's planning or outside of God's mind. God does not sit in heaven and go, oh no, I had such great plans, but somehow they just got derailed. I'll have to come up with a plan B, and I hope it works. God does not sit in heaven, and when bad things happen to you, he goes, oh, I have no idea how to fix this one. God does not sit in heaven and wonder to himself how he's possibly going to help you get through what he could not control. God is the one that is always in control of everything. He never wonders. So when things happen to you because of the destructive nature of sin, it does not cause God to try and figure out how he's going to fix it. All it does is creates another world of opportunity for you to interact with God in a manner that allows you to experience the freedom he calls you to. See, because now we're starting to touch on something that becomes critical in our understanding if we're ever going to understand why, or even better, how we are going to handle when bad things happen to us or to those whom we love. So first, we handle them by remembering a few things. Sin is at work on our planet. Don't doubt that. Sin is not just what you do wrong. It is a disease that has been at work since the day we walked out of the Garden of Eden because we chose to do our things our way, and it is always bent on your destruction. Two, while sin is at work on this planet doing its horrible things, it is doing it to everyone without question, good, bad, or indifferent. And while sin is at work on this planet doing those terrible things, God has stepped in already and told us, shh, I'll tell you exactly what's happening while all this is occurring. He tells us first in Romans chapter 8 that though we are not yet fully redeemed from this body of sin and fully redeemed from this planet of death, we have a hope in what we have not yet seen, a hope of what is to come, a hope of a freedom from all of this. When you listen to Losing Hope, you will hear me say this: God will redeem every horrible situation someday, every one of them. There is not a single moment that has occurred in your life as a Christ follower that God will not bring to redemption. But it just has not happened yet because you are still on this planet. But what God does do is he gives us a hope beyond our wildest imagination. In Romans chapter 8, turn there again with me. At the very end of that passage I read about the fact that we are still stuck in this world, still groaning to be redeemed of this planet, this is what God says at the end of that passage. In verse 27, remember he said in chapter 8, "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will." Look what comes next. Here it is, a verse you probably know well. "And we know," listen carefully to this, "and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For we know that God, in all things, works for the good of those who love him." This is a promise made to us that says the hope you have is this: that when things happen to you, good or bad, however you choose to define them, they are irrelevant to God in terms of what he's going to do with them. To God, they are both the same thing: circumstances he will use to bring great good into your life. Isn't that incredible? So for a Christ follower, everything starts changing in its definition. There are no good people because there are only bad people and bad people redeemed. And there are no bad circumstances because there are only circumstances, and they will all be used for the same purpose in your life, for great good. because that's what God has promised. So whether they are good or bad by your definition doesn't change the fact that they're going to turn out to be great for you. That's an incredible thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? That you can walk out of here as a Christ follower and know that it doesn't matter what happens to me today, every one of those circumstances will be used by God for my good because He promised. So all of them turn out to be good, no matter how difficult or bad they are. God goes on to tell us this kind of stuff in James. Turn to the book of James if you want, or just listen to this. In James chapter 1, James describes it this way. He says in verse 2, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Do you understand what God is saying here? That no matter what trial comes into your life, no matter how difficult, no matter how horrible, no matter how badly you define it, you can rejoice in it, not because it is good, but because regardless of the circumstance, great good will come from it, because the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You ready for this? Do you know what it requires for us to be able to be saved? It is the perseverance of the saints, right? So when you are saved, by definition, it is the fact that you will persevere to the end that you will be with Christ. And the fact of the matter is that it is God who gives you the perseverance you need to persevere. It's not you who comes up with it. So you cannot be lost to God, because He will develop in you the perseverance you need to be able to run the race well. None of this is up to us. This is all God at work in us. And how does God develop perseverance in you? Through the difficult circumstances you will face. So understand this. Why do bad things happen to good people? There are no good people, and there are no bad things for the Christ follower. Because every difficult thing that happens is developing in you perseverance that you desperately need to be able to run this race well, and that will bring you to maturity, completeness, not lacking anything. And every circumstance, whatever you define it, is working in you for your good, because God already promised that. So however difficult the circumstances that you face, you know that it is good for you because God will make it so. Isn't that an incredible hope in which we live? That you can walk out of these doors and know, no matter what sin does on this planet that affects you, the God you serve will work it for good and develop in you perseverance that will allow you to be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Describe to me one bad circumstance that could possibly happen to you that would not fall under that category. And I will tell you, there is no such thing. Because if you follow Christ, the promise has already been made. Paul writes it this way, describes it beautifully in the book of Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4, he says this. He's writing to the church in Philippi, sharing with them that he's so grateful for their giving, because they sent him a gift. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, he writes, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that you at last have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but have had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances." I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. So this is where it gets really crazy. If you are here today and you are a Christ follower, you are handed an opportunity that is beyond your wildest imagination. That now in your life, because you are a bad person that has been redeemed, the redemption that you experience is this, that every circumstance that you face, every one of them, is good for you. And every circumstance will develop in you the perseverance needed to bring you to maturity and completeness, not lacking anything. So now every circumstance is an opportunity for you to ask a single question. Since I follow Christ, what does obedience look like in this particular circumstance? Because my call is not to ask God, why me? Why this? But instead to say, since this is the circumstance today that I face, how can I live in obedience to you and bring glory to your name through this circumstance, since I already know that this is going to work out for good in my life and the lives of those called according to your purpose, and that this circumstance is developing in me perseverance that will lead to my maturity being complete and not lacking anything. So whatever I face today, God, I face knowing that I can do all things through him who strengthens me because I am in Christ. And yes, will it be painful? Are you kidding me? Bad things are always painful. But it is in those moments that you and I as Christ followers get to experience the greatest opportunity for obedience. You know, this is always true, isn't it? A man might die for a good man, but who's going to die for an evil man? A man might do great things when great things are happening. A man might obey when God is blessing. But who obeys when circumstances are against them? Job does. Who else? Well, those who follow Christ do. Job said this beautiful thing in that same chapter that I read in chapter 13. And I want to end with this verse just because it speaks so deeply to where I land when it comes to God. Why do these bad things happen to me? Why do these bad things happen to good people? In Job chapter 13, he says this. I'm looking for the verse here in a second. I'll get to it. Da-da-da-da-da. Reading the whole chapter. Here we go. Verse 15. This is what it says. Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. Though he slay me, yet I will hope in him. Let me close with this thought. If you follow Christ here today, hear me now. Your life exists for a single purpose, to bring glory to God. That's it. You exist to bring glory to God. And let me tell you something, that as you bring glory to God, you will find a life of freedom beyond your wildest imagination. So everything that happens to you is an opportunity to ask, God, how will I bring you glory through this? Because God does not allow one solitary thing to happen in your life that will not bring him glory. Everything that happens will bring him glory. So when you look at circumstances next time and you try and define them as good or bad, rethink that. They are not good or bad. If you're a Christ follower, they will be good for you. And the next time you define things by good people or bad people, sit back for a second and say, wait, shh. Every person is bad. They're just a bunch of redeemed bad people. And their redemption is this, that no matter what happens now, it will be for their good. So may I submit to you tonight that those redeemed only have good things happen to them. Though we often define them as bad, they are only good because God has already promised them to be. And to those unredeemed, there is no good thing, even the things we define as good, because all circumstances to them will end in destruction. All. And so the deception, the horror of someone unredeemed is if they have enough good circumstances, they will never know their need for Christ, and they will never find redemption. And in those good circumstances, they will find their death. I would pray for things to happen to those unredeemed that would enlighten them to their need for Christ so that they would experience redemption. And I would pray for those redeemed that they would respond to every circumstance as Paul does, with contentment, because they know that bad things do not happen to redeemed people. Things happen to redeemed people, and every one of them is an opportunity for God to glorify himself in us, because he will bring them to redemption. If you are in Christ tonight, you are a bad person redeemed, and you can no longer experience bad circumstances. Not defined by God anyways, because even the bad ones will be used to bring maturity into your life and be used to bring redemption in its purest form into your life, because God will show you how he uses bad stuff for great good in those who are called according to his purpose. I stand here today living in great hope that whatever God takes from me or whatever God leaves with me is just opportunity to obey him. And if you face a terrible circumstance that rips the heart out of your chest, just know that the God you serve understands that journey and will journey with you through the pain, through the struggle, all the way to the other side, because he always does. Wait for his redemption. Wait for him to show it, because it will happen.